You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Hey, you ready to rock this place out, dude?
Ultimate hype man.
He was on fire last night.
And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Word association before we get you out of here. Eddie Johnson.
Twister.
When will we see Simon Borg taking over Snapchat and MLS?
Do you know
what Snapchat is, since winky faces are not your thing?
No, I do, and Snapchat wanted all my contacts, and I refused to give it my contacts.
Simon, you are an idiot.
We can't prove it.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from New York, New York, you're listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 94 and MLSsoccer.com. You know what that intro means. I'm back, and I'm not sick anymore. Still got a little of this chest congestion. This is Andrew Wiebe next to Simon Borg and David Goss here on this Thursday.
No audio to start us off?
No audio. That's a Simon Borg special. I know when it's you, and I know when you're just your crazy machinations get going. It gets pretty ridiculous. No guest on you on this show today. We're just talking, man.
What a way to sell a show.
I am selling it. We're talking. We have a lot of people to tell us. They want more of the analysis, more of the trio. And you know what? You may regret those emails. It's just going to be us today. We're going to start with all the games this weekend. Of course, the final round in MLS. Round 33, just one playoff spot left up for grabs, but plenty of seeding implications. And we'll also go over that Vancouver-Portland battle for the fifth spot out in the West. We'll also take a look at, you know what, a little fantasy world in the second segment. Simon, you always take us there. We're going to look at how we would build the playoff structure. We'll look at what the real life stuff is, and that's all fine and good. But then we'll go into the fantasy world. What would we do? And then we'll also do our first ever CONCACAF camp, which I'll let that just kind of build in your imagination.
I'm pretty excited about this one. I actually might open mine.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I'm scouting locations currently.
There you go. That's coming in segment two. And then, of course, the mailbag. Let's start, though, guys, with the big match. This is what it's all coming down to this weekend. Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, NBC and TSN2, Seattle Sounders, LA Galaxy. The Supporters Shield is up for grabs. Here's the scenario here. If LA wins it, they are the Supporters Shield winners. They will have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and if they make it there, home field advantage in MLS Cup. If they draw, or if the Sounders win, they will take that one home, and they will have that home field advantage throughout. So this is a big one. It's a rematch. We saw the game last week, 2-2. LA went up 2-0 in that game. Seattle came roaring back to make it 2-2. Now they do it all again, and they'll do it all again without Omar Gonzalez. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, before we break all this down, before we look at MVP and choke jobs, Simon, which you've been taking to task for, what are you looking forward to most? What really lights the Maltese fire within when you think about this game?
I am fascinated to see what kind of edge or lack thereof the Galaxy have going into this. I think Seattle, you know, they're going to have a big crowd. They're going to be pumped up for this. They're in a great position. They have two results going for their way. They're fine. They're not really missing anyone, so they can line up whoever they want. So they're in a great position. I'm less concerned about them and more about what kind of Galaxy we see. Because if it's the Galaxy that did the damage the other time they went to, the most recent time they went to Seattle, where they just played Seattle off the park, mm-hmm. They intimidated them from the first minute. Seattle could never get into the game, and it was over even before the goal started going in for the LA Galaxy. We're going to get that kind of Galaxy, or we're going to get a Galaxy that's maybe more conservative, not pressuring as high, not really flummoxing the Sounders? So that's what it was fascinating to me. What kind of Galaxy are we going to see? Is the Galaxy maybe content to say, hey, we're fine with second. Let them kill themselves on the other side. We're just going to rest some of our guys. You know, we're happy with second. Whoever we're dealt, you don't think they do that?
No,
I don't think they do that. Although the only,
but why?
Because,
explain to me why.
Because it's right there. There's no reason that they can't go on the road and get a win in Seattle. They don't need five things to go their way.
But they also don't need the Supporters Shield.
No, but it's the trophy, and they have the opportunity to win it.
It's not about not needing it. It's about wanting to host and win MLS Cup at your own place in Landon Donovan's last season. You think he's not going to be motivated for that? You don't think the rest of the team is?
They'll still host.
No, that's actually not true.
What do you mean it's not
true?
Well,
if they lose, DC United can still pass them.
Could technically still pass them and jump up. So then we would be at RFK Stadium, which we were going to get to later, but you guys are jumping all over the place.
Are you sure about that, by the way? So if DC wins, they get to 61. Are we sure that the tiebreakers work?
The tiebreakers is wins. If DC wins, they have 18
wins.
LA
would be at 17. Got it. There you go. I'm just we're bringing you along as it comes. Well done. Well done, right. Simon.
Simon, in MLS.
You still have another day to figure all of this out, Simon. Look, I don't think there's any chance they don't go after this game. With a week to rest, you go for it. You go up to Seattle and you try to put your stamp on things. I know you could meet them later, made it later on in the playoffs, but both these teams are going to go for it. And if they're not, I'm going to be greatly, greatly disappointed.
Oh, no, they're going to go for it. I'm drooling already.
Okay, but here's the big question mark in this game. No Omar Gonzalez. I'm sure you guys broke down the red card and the second yellow and the tackle and all the brouhaha on Monday from the card that will keep him out of this match. He said this week that, you know, maybe it's a stroke of good luck in some ways. He'd love to be playing this game, but his wife is going to have their first child, a daughter, I believe, or could have their first child. I don't want to preempt that. Possibly this weekend, so he'll be around for that if that happens. But that's a big blow for LA. Simon, we were talking earlier here today. You actually weren't that impressed this season with Omar Gonzalez. I'm going to put your feet onto the fire here.
Hold on.
Explain.
Are we sure Omar Gonzalez is suspended? I'm kidding.
This is on the area where he also challenged me that Stevie Wonder had passed away last show.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I've been sick. All of a sudden, my eyes get big. I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I don't think – who do we think would replace him?
Leonardo.
Leonardo and AJ. Yeah. I think that's major, sure. Leonardo has had a clean few games here. You know, compared to his usual standard where he makes a mistake every now and then.
Yeah, that is the standard.
And when you have Dempsey and Martins pressuring you, that is going to invite mistakes.
And so, when you go into a game where you have to win, you have to go for the win, and so therefore you're going to be left open on the other end. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to defend one-on-one a lot.
That's not a confident option to have Leonardo.
It's not.
I'm sorry.
It's not. That's an issue there for the LA Galaxy. No doubt about that, especially with Seattle Sounders. I mean, look, they want to go up the gut at you, and if they see Leonardo there, I have to imagine they're going to try to draw Obafemi Martins out, get him turned, get him faced up. For me, it's Sarvas and Juninho. Cannot let Oba turn. And that brings us to the matchups here. What are the matchups that we're watching? Obviously, you know, the center back one is an obvious one. We know that could be an issue for the Galaxy, but where is this game going to get decided? Where's a place in the field that people should watch that maybe they weren't looking for before, that maybe wasn't at the top of their mind?
Robbie Rogers. If Robbie Rogers can attack from the left back spot and allow Landon Donovan to float and pick up the game wherever he wants to, I think that that's a spot that they can win the game, because what we saw in the last game was Yedlin couldn't get free to attack because he was under pressure. And the moment he got back the other way and found a little bit of an opening, he puts in a cross for the first goal. And so I think that the attack for LA down the left side both pins him back, or if he goes for it, you can exploit that open space behind them.
But along those same lines, it's what Seattle does with their right flank.
Yep.
Do they go the way they ended the last game in LA,
where
Nagel on the right with Yedlin overlapping
and Marco Papa in the game?
Yep. Marco Papa in the game. Is that your aggressive, attack-minded, people consider it approach?
Or if you do that, though, you can't play your captain, which is, or you probably can't, which
or
is Brad Evans.
Or you could put him at left back if you want.
I don't understand the fascination with Gonzalo Pineda in a one-off match. In a one-off match. Over the course of a season, I get how he has a good relationship with Osvaldo Alonso. He has a good left foot. Set pieces might work. But to me, I want Brad Evans and Ozzy Alonso. If I'm going to be in a battle, in a fight with Sarvas and Juninho, I want Evans and Alonso going at it. Gonzalo Pineda is not as – he can't keep up with the game as
more
much
of a metronome. More of a
possession. I pity the world
metronome
you live in, Simon.
Yeah, why?
Where you can't enjoy the beauty that is Gonzalo Pineda. He's been unbelievable this season.
Yes.
He has been as good as Ozzy Alonso throughout the season.
Get out of here.
The way that they move the ball left to right is huge for this team. And the way he fills in and allows Papa to float and allows Oba to float, and he just covers the space behind them, and it's quick passes that open up that attack.
But he is
and Dempsey and Obafemi Martins are the keys. He doesn't need to be on the ball that long, and he's their set piece.
But do you realize that otherwise he's just a cone on the field? Because he doesn't run. He doesn't cover ground. It's just Alonso. So if you're going to have Donovan, Keane, Zardes all running at you, with just Alonso?
Bajo Husidic maybe. Sarvas in there pushing forward.
Or Robbie Rogers. He wants Robbie Rogers pushing up.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to track these guys?
A lot of decisions to make in there. We haven't really talked about the forwards here, and those are the money men, so to speak. Simon celebrating an imaginary victory here. All of them imaginary, realistically. The forwards, though, are the big money guys. Look, you've got Clint up there. You've got Oba. You've got Robbie Keane. You've got Giusti Zardes. There's a big feature on MLSsoccer.com here on this Thursday that you should go out and read.
Excellent job by Scott French.
Interesting stuff. Scott French doing he's just as good as it gets on LA Galaxy down there in LA. But who has the edge here? We've done a lot of stuff over the last 2 weeks because, look, everybody's trying to blow this stuff up. Everybody's calling them the biggest games of the regular season in MLS history. We've done a lot of compare and contrasts. So in game one, I think in a lot of ways you had to give the edge to Seattle. Olufemi Martins, two assists. Clint Dempsey with the goal. Dangerous, very dangerous. Who's going to have the edge up top in this match?
I think the edge going into a game, even without watching that the past game, it's going to Dempsey and Olufemi Martins. Just too much quality, too much experience, and their understanding that they have. And I don't think that understanding exists. It's getting better game by game with Keane and Zardes, but it's not the same. It's not on the same level.
I don't think we saw the Robbie Keane that we've seen this season in the last game. I think a large part of that was coming back from those qualifiers in Europe. And I think he's going to be a better player this week. And I think he's a guy who lives for big games. He has for LA.
Here's what I would say. I would say Giusti Zardes has to be more of a threat in occupying those two center backs. Because we've seen all season for Seattle, their weak spot, outside of Chad Marshall, of course, is at center back. Who will play next to him? What will happen in that position? They've been pretty soft defensively at times. It's probably going to be Zach Scott. Zach Scott, he's got a propensity to get a yellow. Giusti Zardes has got to occupy them. He's got to pull them out of position a little bit. He's got to force them to get their heads on a swivel, and that's where Robbie Keane comes in. Because we know, just like Oba, he wants to drop a little bit. He wants to get out of your line of sight. He wants to get off your radar and then pop up. That's really the key as it comes. Simon, you've been on the record for a long time calling the Sounders chokers. You readily admit that. That's 100% the truth.
It's less choking and more they come up small in the big spot.
Okay, small in the big spot. Tristan
the
Ginger.
Same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Tristan the Ginger Ninja.
Choker sounds violent.
It is a little bit. Sounds violent. You're not a violent guy. Look, Tristan has this to say to you. I thought I'd chime in on how Simon thinks the Sounders crumple when they fall behind. That's his way of putting it. I think, Simon, your narrative is flawed. In fact, the opposite has been a hallmark of this season. Last Sunday was the ninth time that the Sounders have come behind to get a result in 2014. Pretty sure this is where Simon says, well, historically, in past seasons, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't really matter, says Tristan. Even though Seattle have the advantage in this match, I don't think we're going to see either team give up at this game on Saturday. It's going to be an epic showdown and loud as hell. The one thing I wonder about is if we'll see a swoon from either of these teams in the playoffs after the Shield is awarded due to how intense this series is. So this is our last note here.
You cannot compare regular season matches with these matches that are – it's all or nothing. It's you win and you win a trophy, or you lose and you miss out on one. So – to me, I look at playoffs and this series with it's not even a series. These last two games with LA
feels like a series.
As different from the regular season. So it's great. I mean, they're doing their homework there with the nine wins.
The ninth time that they've come behind to get a result. So there's draws.
So the eight previous times, I mean, fine, big deal. They happen in the regular season, but this is when it counts. And so I was impressed by the last game. I'll be honest with you, and that's why I'm less concerned with the mentality of the Sounders now going into this final game. Plus, they have, again, multiple results that can go their way. More about LA.
Okay. Well,
and I do agree that there's a clear difference when you talk about a playoff in a series and just the style and the way it's played than from a regular season.
Well, maybe we'll get another taste of this come playoff time. Once again, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, NBC and TSN2, Seattle, LA. The big match, the one everybody wants to watch on Saturday. Moving
on NBC.
On NBC. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's the game. The biggest game of the year for the trophy, two best teams in the league, and it happens to be on NBC. When does this happen?
On the Peacock. They all got it right there. Also on Saturday, just after this one, 4 p.m., Montreal hosting DC United. We mentioned DC United can jump up and actually get second seed. We'll talk a little bit about that scenario in the second segment. But that one,
they're having a good season, huh?
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Oh, boy. But the one that really is special here, really dear to ETR hearts, and, of course, to Simon Borgs, he's the number one motivational speaker for the Portland Timbers. There's still that playoff spot to be decided out west. Portland, they're not in the driver's seat. Look, they play the first game of the two between them and Vancouver here. They are going to Dallas at 8:30 p.m. on Saturday. That's MLS Live. If you want to check that one out, you really should. It has the promisings of a great game. They've been pretty good on the road this year, Simon. 6-6-4. That's their best one in MLS by far since they came into the league. But they're 0-3-2 in Dallas all time. So they've got to get a win here. And then an hour and a half later.
Well, they don't have to get a win. It would help, but they don't have to.
They don't have to. That's right. What they could draw. They could draw and a loss from Vancouver. Yeah. So Vancouver, meanwhile,
I know my scenarios.
Host the Rapids. They're 8-3-5 at home. Right. They just have to get a result. Just a result. That's all they need. And they're 31-15-21 all time in Vancouver. So 52 out of 67 times at home all time in regular season, they've gotten the result that would get them through here. But they have two losses in their two games against Colorado this year. Who would have thought that?
I didn't know.
And one of those was at home. So we're going into this, and
this is a different Colorado team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is a completely different one. What do we think? We gave Vancouver the spot. Are we, you know, collectively Gastrodamus here, or are we going to get this one wrong?
I think that both Vancouver and Portland fail to perform this weekend, and Vancouver gets in. That's
how
I see it.
How?
Via either they both draw or they both lose.
And why do you say that, though?
Because I think FC Dallas has a lot to play for, which was up in the air whether or not they'd have something to play for. They have something to play for, and I think that they go out and take care of business against Portland. And I think Vancouver struggles a little bit with the nerves that you just talked about with Seattle based on they couldn't beat San Jose when they knew after Portland dropped those points, they beat San Jose, it's over.
Sure, sure. But that was on the road. They knew that. But I know. It's San Jose. You want a result.
And
you know,
it's still, it's just, and it's finishing is what we always talk about. And it was in that game that they couldn't finish.
But Vancouver went to San Jose, and they weren't trying to win. I mean, it's evident to everyone, right? They went to San Jose not trying to win, just making sure they got away with a draw. And so, I don't know why that game, David, is so such an indicator for you.
Ingrained in his mind, look.
Such an indicator for you that, okay, yeah, they don't know how to win. Yeah,
No, I didn't say they don't know how to win, but I thought there was a little bit of pressure on to say, okay, we can take care of business. That's what a quality team does.
They did.
I don't see that as taking care of business.
Well, look, Vancouver will have an idea what they have to do. They have an hour and a half lead in on this. That is a little bit sketchy. It feels a little bit sketchy. You know, you look at least the EPL. That's what people always look at. And all those games on the final day start at the same time. What do we think about the fact that Vancouver, even in that sense, has just a little bit of an edge? They just kind of know what's going to happen. Maybe FC Dallas is up 2-0 at that point. And the pressure's off. They still have to get a result. Yeah, but it creates a strange dynamic, doesn't it?
It does create a strange dynamic, but I think what will be even more interesting is if Portland wins, how that affects Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's pray for that.
Every MLS team is getting a big video board. Vancouver really had the original huge video board. Do you put the Portland game up on the video board if you're Vancouver?
Pre-game?
Like, forget all replays. Pre-game?
No, even through the game, because you're going to have a half an hour
until
crossover.
The Portland game is over, it's up on the huge video board. No replays. You're not, you know, looking at fans kissing each other in the stands. You're not yeah. looking at any of that.
I don't think so, because you want the focus to be on the field. So I think what you do is you have it until your whole, like, pre-game procession starts. Then you go to your own thing. But you do have a running score at all times on the scoreboard. I don't think you can go the fully – I mean, that's what people in the stands with the radio. That's the, you know, the headphones.
Yeah, but
radio? But who's doing that these days?
I don't know. Some old guys.
Hey, have you been to a Met game? They still do it. Those people are out there in left field. I think, though, that's interesting because you're talking about trying to bring people into the stadium. And part of why people want to watch at home is they want to watch all the games. And they want to know what's going on all at the same time. So I would actually find it fun. If this is a special circumstance.
If I'm Bob Lenarduzzi, I'm saying it's going up on the screen.
Boy, but you could be in a bad place.
And the pressure could be turned on you, obviously. Yeah, you're
pressure
not going to turn
be turned
the volume
on you.
Up on that.
We talked about Dallas there. Look, if they win, they'll go into the 3 seed. So if they win, they're moving on. They're going to skip the knockout round. Right now, Real Salt Lake in that spot. If they don't, they'll host the knockout round against one of Vancouver and Portland. Let's skip ahead to the East as well, guys. There's some seeding implications out there. It essentially all comes down to who gets the 3 spot. That could go to either Sporting KC, New York, or Columbus. We have all the scenarios on the site. We'll kind of discuss as we go. Both these games are on Sunday. 4 p.m. Eastern for Columbus and Philadelphia. That's on UniMas. Then 8:30 on ESPN2, Sporting KC hosting the New York Red Bulls. What do we make of Columbus, Philly? Columbus, they can get the 3 spot if they win and KC tie or KC lose by some crazy amount.
If you're an MLS fan, you better be rooting for Columbus to finish 3rd. Because a Columbus-New England game with the style of play that both teams have could be an unbelievably played series. Given the stakes, I'm curious to know if they would come out with that same panache in their game and that same ball on the ground.
Because you kind of see in the playoffs sometimes,
teams locked
throttle
up.
The throttle gets back, and you have teams say, ah, you know what? We can't afford those one or two.
I'll take my risks. I want to see Columbus, New England face each other.
It's also a big learning experience for, like, the younger team that, like, we saw it with last year with Portland and New England of what Columbus has done in the regular season to then do it in the postseason. What I think is interesting, we were just talking about, you know, Portland playing earlier. If the Crew win, what do the Red Bulls do? Because the Red Bulls then can no longer get third. So now they're playing KC to be home field, but do you rest guys?
If the Red Bulls,
last minute,
if the Red Bulls don't beat Kansas City, they can play the knockout round game. Their season's over.
Look,
they're not going to Columbus or to Kansas City and winning the knockout round.
Oh, Simon putting his stamp on it,
making claims. Sporting KC will get the 3 spot with a tie, and that's with a Crew tie. Or well, there's a lot of things going on here. My notes are just so convoluted. Just go check it out at MLSsoccer.com. It's much easier that way. Any of the 3 teams can't get it. It's all up for grabs this weekend. TV listings, all the news, everything you need on MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, our ideal playoff structure and CONCACAF camp.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Dax McCarty from the New York Red Bulls, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, Simon Borg, David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe into segment 2 here on this Thursday, and I mentioned it, we're in Fantasy World. That's where Simon Borg brought me when he showed up this morning. It's pretty typical of you, Simon, to have some whack job idea when you get off the train. We'll get to CONCACAF camp, which is absolutely the best idea you've ever had, I think. It's absolutely wonderful. I know you've been wondering about what this is at home. Well, it's essentially our way, entirely fictional way, of preparing the next generation and the current generation for competition in CONCACAF. So at this camp, the grass grows tall. The referees, well, they fall for every single dive. And goals, they come in bunches, and they come when you least expect them.
And the fictional part is just currently, because I'm actually already looking for funding, and I have a location scouted.
Okay, well, we'll let you put your hand in there later on, get your commercial out in the open for all those potential angel investors out there for Nostradamus here. I see how you kind of changed that just a little bit. But first, we'll start this fantasy season MLS. We kind of ran down the reality of the playoff situation, what can happen in round 33, how all this can end up as we enter the playoff stage. But I want to do something a little bit different. I want to try to maximize entertainment when it comes to how all this plays out over the next couple months. So if we were playing MLS God and we were just going to handpick all these seeds and go that way, it has to be based in reality. I just wiped clean you two whack jobs, your pretend brackets.
My DC Vancouver opening game.
That didn't work for me. So we're sticking with reality. Let's start out west. Let's start in the wild card game. I have Dallas and Vancouver simply because I don't want to do Dallas-Portland again. I think that'd be a great game too, but I like the newness of it. And so those two are going, and Dallas is moving on.
For me, it's Dallas-Vancouver as well. All track me all the time, and Vancouver hosts it.
Dallas Vancouver, but Vancouver's making it through to me.
You're going
because I want to see Vancouver Seattle.
Oh yeah, okay. So Eric Hurtado and all Kakuta Mane, he's starting playing 90 minutes in your fantasy world, I assume.
Yeah, in Seattle and getting hat tricks.
There you go. There you go. So I assume that means then we all have Seattle winning Supporters Shield.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. In
so
my world.
So Seattle Dallas, but in the other game obviously LA RSL. Who do we have LA and RSL moving forward to, and why is this an entertainment?
Let's cut to the chase. We all have LA Seattle. As the Western Conference.
Yeah, that is actually true. Just push on through to that one. I liked Seattle-Dallas, though, mostly because I was chomping at the bit. I thought of the track meet there because I was thinking Yedlin-Castillo. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that back and forth is something that I want to see twice on national TV. So some excitement there. Okay, so Seattle-LA, let's move out east then. What about the wild card game here? Because there's a lot of different possibilities. The West, it was pretty simple. What do we have in your wild card out east?
I have KC-New York because I want to see –
So you're going for the repeat. You're going for the regular season repeat there.
I want to see. I think that has a grittiness to it, and I would love to see the winner of that then face DC.
Okay.
I think that will be a strong
one. Who in that one is hosting? Because that matters.
I have KC hosting, KC moving on.
Okay, so it's two straight in Kansas City. That's some back-to-back stuff. Simon, what about you on your wild card side?
Yeah, I have KC New York, but KC moving on, as I tipped my cap before. And New England Columbus is the other one. Okay. I want to see those two teams go at it in a game that matters.
Okay. I actually had Columbus, New York, because I liked the Columbus-DC matchup better in the sense that it gets Columbus to New England in the conference finals. So I have Columbus moving on past New York. The game is in Columbus. You have a nice jumping off point for them. It's on grass, so Thierry can do his thing as well.
Yeah.
Good jumping off for their new brand, their new identity, all that. They'll play DC, which I like as well. You have kind of pragmatism and the old boys that are on the come up. Then you have Greg Berhalter and his guys that want to play with the ball. I have Columbus moving on in that one. Who do you guys have moving on from the DC? And then for you guys, DC, what, SKC?
Yeah, I have DC, SKC. I have SKC moving on because I want to see the winner of New England Columbus, which is a series that I'm also salivating over in the quality of play. I want to see New England SKC again. I think there's a rivalry there. We saw it last year in the playoffs. KC knocks them out. So now a chance for New England to get over those demons.
To get over the hump.
To see if they can play open but also win. I think that that would be the best of all those series.
Listeners, direct your hate mail at David Goss. Mm. David Goss, manufacturing rivalries.
Yeah. How am I manufacturing?
Yeah, New England SKC, not a rivalry. But you as a Revs fan would love
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
You just set yourself up for that one. That was easy money for me. See, because I'm clever, I made New England and SKC the 2 and 3 seeds. So we get that matchup in the first round, and we still get New England Columbus. So I have New England moving on past Sporting KC in that 2-3 game, and then it's Columbus New England in the conference finals. What do you have in the conference finals, Simon?
DC Columbus, old school MLS. DC Columbus would match up all the time in the playoffs. And so now they're back at it.
There you go. And also at least someone has some respect for DC.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Although it's going to end shortly.
Their run is ending for you. Okay, let's head back out west. Who's moving on to MLS Cup? Because in this scenario then, since we had all had Seattle winning the Supporters' Shield, they have to win to host. Otherwise, we're going to RFK Stadium.
Which would be awesome.
And MLS Cup is with the Raccoons and the crumbling concrete. So where do we go?
It's Seattle.
Seattle? You're moving Seattle on? What about you, Dave?
In this scenario, I'm moving Seattle on. Now, if we're talking about all dream scenario, DC gets the host so that I can go. In this scenario,
ETR expense count is, it's just a two-man expense account.
Well, I know that. That's why I'm trying to, hitchhike my way down highway.
I'm going Seattle, too. So Seattle's in for the West. And for me, New England moves on in the East. I think that's the most fascinating MLS Cup matchup. I love the way New England play. Seattle, obviously, you got the star power. You have a great season there for them, and the crowd will be amazing. And I like the fact that New England shellacked them 5-0 during the regular season. So you have a little bit of a storyline there in the sense that, hey, they had their number at least at one point here. Can they do it again at home? That would be a shocking MLS Cup result.
Now, shaking up all of this, the other thing I would want to see, if I were to say I don't want to see any of this, DC-LA in the final. Landon in his last final versus DC 2. MLS, primetime powers. I think that would also be fun to watch.
Yeah, that certainly would.
We should just scrap this whole thing and say, I mean, Donovan in the final at home.
Yeah, Donovan in the final really.
Scoring the goals is the storybook ending.
It is.
And we've kind of glanced over that. I forgot about that when I was putting this together.
I didn't forget about it. I knew. But I was thinking entertainment value, and I was thinking my own personal entertainment. And I was like, man, how many Landon Donovan stories do I want to write over the course of a month? So I was going Seattle, New England just to liven it up a little bit. Yeah. But I do agree. 55,000 in RFK. Landon there. They'll celebrate him.
DC's hosting.
Yeah, that would assume DC's that's hosting. Saying that's through our Seattle Supporters Shield winner side. So,
although if Seattle-LA tie, LA could still host the final and Seattle could still win the Supporters Shield this weekend.
There's a lot of different scenarios here to run over. Let us know what you think. What's your ultimate matchup in the final? How do you want to see all this go?
Final?
Yeah, well.
Did we say your final?
I said two finals that were two completely different.
You're disqualified.
You said scratch all this. I thought you moved on.
We should scratch all this. I mean, Donovan scoring the goal in the final. But I had Seattle-Columbus.
Seattle-Columbus?
In Seattle with Columbus winning.
Columbus crew.
Oh, yeah, you did. Of course you did. Okay, let us know what you think. You know how to get us. At Extra Time Radio on Twitter. ExtraTime@MLSsoccer.com. Via email, moving on to CONCACAF Champions League. A lot of juicy stuff to go over in this week's game. Still another game to go. That one's on Thursday. Saprissa Sporting Kansas City. This one can determine a lot in both seeding and whether or not Sporting get through. They need to get a result in this one down in Stadio Saprissa. Not easy for them.
The Purple Monster.
The Purple Monster. Yes, sir. It's going to be tough. You circled this one in your calendar. I know we did when we were looking it over at the beginning. Well, now it comes to this game. You're probably listening to it on a Thursday, so we won't spend too much time – or on a Friday, I'm sorry. We won't spend much time on that one. But DC United now has locked up the number one seed.
Huge.
In CONCACAF Champions League knockout rounds. That is a heaping pile of humble pie for all of us, because I'm pretty sure that all of us, when they won the U.S. Open Cup last year, were like, man, that was the worst thing that could happen for MLS, is that these guys represent it, the worst team in the league, and here they are setting themselves up for a long run. How do we feel about that now? Simon, you have a palette that seems very compatible with humble pie, so I get your opinion first.
I had no opinion on this, so I'm not eating humble pie on this. You guys can eat it all you want. To me, it's you want to praise DC for being number one, and I don't. This
are
the
you
first time.
Poo-poo this?
Yeah. No, hold
is
on.
Is that where we're going?
Is this the number? Is this the first time an MLS team is number one going into the knockout
in round? in this format?
So praise, we got to heap praise on them, and I think they're locked into Alajuelense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it appears so, yes.
But they did it with a bunch of reserves.
Isn't that more impressive?
Hold on. I don't know if to think that's impressive. I mean, you had DC's reserve team. Basically, what does it say about, I mean,
their group?
What we've seen here? Or their group? Or their group, it's probably the
Listen,
group.
Listen, yeah. What we have seen in CCL, I think, is extremely exciting, is that MLS and Liga MX teams have not walked over the other teams in this competition. There are going to be more teams that are not MLS Liga MX in the quarterfinals than ever before.
And so everyone should take notice of this. I know people have mentioned in the past, CONCACAF Champions League, let's just get rid of all the other countries and have USA Mexico. Over the course of time, competing like this improves the level of play of many countries.
It's the same as with MLS.
It's what we're seeing with Champions League in Europe too, where the Bate Borisovs and the
Ludogorets.
That stuff's up and down though. But okay.
No, but you always have those three or four teams. I mean, Rosenborg made their name in Champions League, and they built their club around that, and they're now a perennial power in Norway. So give these teams a chance. I'm happy to see what's going on with Costa Rica and the Costa Rican clubs.
Well, here you go right now. Herediano is currently in this three spot. Macho Impact is currently in the fourth. Pachuca in the fifth seed. Club America in two. I kind of skipped them. They're locked in. Olympia in six. Seven is Sporting KC or Saprissa. And all this can change based on goal differential and result in that match. It really hinges on all that. The quarterfinal legs are scheduled, the two of them, for between February 24th and March 5th in 2015. And look, you mentioned it. DC didn't even bring a whole team down to play Tauro.
They didn't even bring a coach.
They did not bring a coach. They didn't have, what, they had three guys on the bench, a goalkeeper, and two subs. They did what they had to do. Maybe it's something good to say, look, we know what we have to do now to win, to get through, to get things done, and they're number one, and they have their seating. Good for them. They'll chase it down next year, certainly with a healthy Chris Pontius and some more signings, I would expect. But Portland, that's the team that's not here.
Yeah.
And Portland's the one we expected. And you know, what happened? 3-1, two goals in the first 5 minutes, some brouhaha on Twitter, the Timbers Army and Merritt Paulson having some back and forth. Nerves a little bit jangled after this one in the Rose City. And Dave in Portland emailed in. We've had a lot of turmoil and gnashing of teeth over the Timbers' tough loss in Honduras, he said. Which would you have prioritized with your complete A lineup, an away CCL game where you actually do control your fate to move in the knockout rounds, or an away MLS game where there's a chance, but a smaller one, that you can make the playoffs, and you don't control your fate in that game? Look, personally, he says, I would have secured the CCL group win any way necessary. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So what do we make of this? The lineup they sent down
was pretty
to
strong.
Olympia was pretty strong. You had your defensive DP and Liam Ridgewell in the lineup. Max Aruti up top. You had Alasan. I know it's not your top guys. There's no Nagby in this one. There's no Valeri, but you don't get it done. And it was an issue. It's an issue for Portland. They're having to deal with some fallout for this. They're looking at next year without potentially playoff team and without CONCACAF knockout rounds to look forward to.
You know, what should they have prioritized here? It's easy to say in hindsight. But I think, let's be honest, if they make the playoffs, the MLS playoffs, this is forgotten.
Oh,
no one's remembering 100%, Olympia and Honduras at all. No one's remembering maybe the back and forth that happened on Twitter either. So I think they did field a solid lineup. You had Ridgewell and Paparato in the back. Not to mention that all the big guns came off the bench with Adi and Nagbe and Valeri came off the bench. Although, you know, you wonder, again, we've had this discussion before. Do you start your best players and then slowly take them off after you've managed the result to some extent? But look, to me, it all comes down to the fact that it just didn't feel like they managed the situation.
And right? That's what it feels like a lot of times with these away CONCACAF games.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like in the KC Cruz Azul game last year.
It's intensity, the gamesmanship, the atmosphere.
And
the,
it's just over before it started.
The conditions, yeah. And yep. you have that feeling about the game. And this was over before it started because, 7 minutes in, two goals. Portland can see two goals. And Liam Ridgewell is probably, you know, still, you know, having nightmares about those two goals because he was exposed on both. Here's your DP defender you brought in to help make something out of your season.
But I think part of it is you talk about DP players and you talk about you're bringing players in. Liam Ridgewell coming from England has never been in a situation like this. Remotely, where he's played a game in a setting like this. So you bring in some players, I think, who can help have experience in these regions, but not in a guy like Ridgewell.
And you know what, Dave? That is a perfect transition into CONCACAF
Here we
camp.
Go.
So we're fielding a camp for the Liam Ridgewells of this world, for the Kevin Ellis's of the Sporting KCs that had trouble down against Cruz Azul. How are we going to set up this next generation for success? We are sending them where? To our camp, run by Messieurs Borg, Wiebe, and Goss, I am going to throw out Mississippi because I'm looking for heat. I'm looking for humidity.
Wow.
I'm looking for the perfect conditions. Yeah. I'm looking for tall grass. You know, I'm looking for something to really test people physically.
And something so that's weird because we did not talk about this before. And I was looking at I'm scouting a few sites in the suburbs of Oxford, Mississippi.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also was thinking
what
about
what does this say about Mississippians?
No. Well,
I just think of the weather. Yeah, Gulf Coast weather, you know.
And part of it was I want them to be uncomfortable. I want them to be in a place that they're not used to. There's no MLS team that trains or plays near Mississippi. And so it's just something a little bit alien for those players.
Has any of us been to Mississippi?
Never.
No.
I've driven through it.
Okay. That counts. That counts as being there. I would definitely go there. I'd love to do a little fishing in Mississippi. Okay. So just for the sake of preventing argument, we're holding our camp in Mississippi. What are the tenets of our camp here, Simon? What are you proposing we throw down?
Well, the hotel staff is designed to make everything
inferior,
be as miserable as possible.
Yeah.
The cleaning staff, they don't clean at the place they're staying. There are stray dogs all over town, including at the stadium. Mm-hmm. Stray dogs are a must, including like in the locker room. The lockers, mildew-laced showers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Toilets that don't flush.
Yep. Knew that was coming.
The locker room ground has to be smell of urine and has to be just infested.
So this is interesting.
Yeah, this is
because you're setting up like a city and a stadium. In my head, it was like an actual sleepaway camp. Like
yeah,
they're
no,
sleeping
is.
In
this
bunks.
This is it, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are sleeping in bunks.
Okay.
Because
you said like hotel and stadium.
Yeah, but the hotel, I mean, you don't put them in bunks. You put them in what the same kind of conditions they would be like, you know, down in Tegucigalpa or whatever.
Like,
they would not have slept the night before.
Yeah.
We employ the local. You know what? Let's bring in Ole Miss's marching band and they'll play outside the hotel.
Throughout
the night hours, yeah.
And even if the field is located literally a stone's throw away from the hotel, they would still have to take a long bus ride.
Yeah, a very long circuitous route. And to get to Mississippi, we're going to put them on, let's say, three connecting flights, the last of them on a very small, bumpy plane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're training without the game balls. That throws off teams believe.
There's also a cow with an air horn. At every single training session. Nobody gets this reference?
A cow? Oh, yes.
Lula? Come on,
Lula
down
cow.
In Costa Rica, man, the U.S. qualifier, that was one of the best. Oh, man, Dave, I have so much to teach
There
you.
Is no water at this thing. Like, at the worst
there has
part of it,
to be water.
There will be water. This is the way the water's showing up. In bottles that don't have any labels that have been previously opened. That's the water that you have.
Oh.
The bench is beach chairs.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable beach chairs, those white ones. Right?
And I want to establish here that this is not actually us imagining what it's really like down in CONCACAF. It's just us trying to train you for every possible terrible scenario. Because I'm sure they go down there and the situations are much better than this. But we just want, you know, you got to toughen them up. You got to really make them, when they get down there, when they get down to, say, Esteli, then it's Shangri-La after our camp. Like, you're just sitting pretty. It's all good, man.
What do you got, David?
Well, one of my big things is training on playing surfaces. So you begin on a carpet, physical carpet in the living room. You move on to a tennis court. Then you get AstroTurf, old-style AstroTurf.
You don't have unlimited funds here at this camp.
No. How hard is it to find a building with carpet in it? And how hard is it to find ancient AstroTurf? Tennis courts exist. Then they have to play in a field of wildflowers. And then eventually they get to play on field turf. So now they're ready for any situation. If it's terrible turf, if it's good turf, if it's terrible grass, and we're not training for good grass.
Or if it's a field of wildflowers. I was just going to say, you know what? Our grounds crew just doesn't do that good a job, and it's just really tall grass.
Ball kids have the 30-second rule.
Ball kids do have the 30-second
rule. On every ball that goes out
except
of play.
Except for your opponent. Who are our training opponents? Who are we putting them up against in these training games? You know, they go and they take all these flights, and they do the circuitous route to the stadium. They get to the stadium. You know, the bus gets rocked, maybe.
And pelted with rocks.
Pelted
too.
With certain things, whatever, you know, fill in the blanks here. But who are they playing? Who are we going to have them play?
The bus is very uncomfortable, by the way, and smells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bathroom in the bus hasn't been
flushed. This is like you really are focused on the smell of
it. You're really thrown off by the hygiene. Yeah,
there's
really
no wireless in this entire place. Yeah, let's be honest, because they're not gonna be able to message and tweet out, "Wow, you guys won't believe this place."
No, can't get messages out. Not at Borg Weeby Goss CONCACAF camp. Let's see.
I don't have a playing opponent, but I do have the jewel of my idea. Is you bring in an expert and you run a seminar every day on gamesmanship, run by El Pescadito himself.
Okay,
Carlos
El Pescadito. He's
the expert, and he comes in and he goes from PowerPoint out to the field and shows you every little trick you need to know.
Joel Campbell handles the diving and the suspension, so you can get suspensions for the other players. Who else can we bring in?
Look, here? I mean, when we're talking about refereeing, the opposing team has carte blanche. They will not be punished for anything.
Yeah,
offsides don't exist for them.
Yeah,
they can be offside, but it's not
right,
the flags.
Right. I think it's a team of 13 adult men's league players, because based on, I think, you and I's experiences,
just
Dave,
pure complaining just and violence.
Just roughhousing, a lot of complaining to the referee, a lot of trash talk.
And look,
really
since
prepares you.
You're not going to be able to recreate the crowd setting, so you almost have to blare, you have to record it, go on the road and record it.
Or you can import. We could import fans. If we're really going to put the
and
funds
pay
behind
them.
This.
You'd have to pay them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the funds. You put it behind them.
What would you need to get paid to be a true CONCACAF fan?
Oh, man.
Like $10. If you're going to pay me money to go watch
you put
soccer.
Me in
you're
going to
be throwing stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going
right.
to be
give me like
spitting,
spitting,
cursing aloud.
Yeah. Give me like 2 drink tickets, beer tickets,
okay.
and we're just good to go.
I'll do it for the free trip.
Well, you know what? Before we get out of here, get to the mailbag, let's give David a chance here to give his infomercial. On our way out, the mailbag.
In the world of competitive soccer, it's not enough to just practice anymore. That's like studying hard to get into college. That's a fail. Here at CCL Fever Camp, we'll immerse you in preparation for all CCL matches, led by our resident expert, El Pescadito.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Greg Berhalter, the coach of the Columbus Crew, and you're listening to... Wait, what do we listen to again? I'm sorry.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, Simon Borg, David the Gas Man, Goss. That is, of course, the intro to Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I heard you guys got into it on the last show. Apparently Harvey had a New England Revolution pennant on his wall. That's pretty impressive stuff, and Josh in Mississippi is following up here.
Yeah, go ahead.
He says, there's been a lot of discussion here about the legitimacy of this Melissa Joan Hart following of Simon, and I'm here to say that I think it's legitimate. He says it's also the real deal. He's a sports editor in Mississippi, and there was recently a bit of a stir down here on social media. Mississippi, I didn't even – maybe that's where I got my placement of the CONCACAF camp.
He's not going to write us again.
Probably
not. Or he's going to write us again saying,
and tell us we
you.
Screwed over Mississippi.
Why?
I think it looks like a beautiful state, just very humid. He says there's a stir down there on social media after Melissa Joan Hart began following some Alabama football recruits. A fellow journalist looked into it and determined that, yes, she was indeed following the recruits because she's a big Alabama football fan. Said journalist even went on to have a brief back and forth with MJH on Twitter. So he believes that Hart is probably a legitimate Borg groupie and that Simon should be heartened in knowing that she likely did take an active part in following him.
I mean, the one question is she listening right now?
Yeah, that's a big question.
If, she,
if you're listening, Melissa Joan Hart, please
feel free
email
to email or
tweet in
at
Extra Time Radio. You do follow us.
Am I cool the fact that I didn't follow her back? That's pretty cool of me, huh? Or do I need to follow her back at
Do
some
I need
point?
To go check right now so when you go back to your desk you don't quick unfollow?
No, I haven't followed her.
Okay. You're just kind of creepily following because you know she follows, so every once in a while you check on her timeline to see what she wrote?
No, I'm just saying, is it cool that I'm like, you know, I'm so cool?
It's not that cool.
Nothing is that cool.
It's not that
but
cool.
Here's the thing. How do we know that her kids, maybe Harvey, has taken over
Harvey
her
was her fictional boyfriend, so you're already off there. Your cool points. You actually might have earned cool points by not knowing who Harvey was. Brian in D.C. just finished listening to Monday's podcast, and I must take exception with some of the logic used when discussing player honors for this year. That's understandable. These two were the ones on it. You were discussing the merits of Harry Shipp and Steve Birnbaum and using stats to back up your assessment. This is always a disservice to defenders because they are not on the field to score goals. Take a look at Birnbaum's stats and consider he came into the starting lineup due to an injured Jeff Park. Park, an NFL MLS veteran, was brought into the team to improve a very porous defense. Birnbaum had zero playing time, and he filled in on June 7th. Since then, 20 starts, played every single minute of every single game. He scored 10. He has had 10 fouls, zero yellow cards, and zero red cards. That's pretty impressive in 20 games.
Yeah, if they paid attention to what we said, we actually said Birnbaum arguably has the lead on everyone. Tesho's gone on a drought. Ship, that goal is not going to change anything for me. I think he doesn't deserve it. He did what he did games ago.
But we were also saying stats in terms of impact on the team that Harrison Ship has, whatever. But he's saying, like, Jeff Park came in to improve a defense. Bobby Boswell and Sean Franklin also showed up on that back line.
Yeah, sure, sure. It's not the Steve Birnbaum show, so to speak. But I'm actually with him here, and I think it sounds like you guys are too, Brian and DC, that Steve Birnbaum, for me right now, helping lead DC to where he is, I think he's my rookie of the year. He's great in the air. One of the best things I can say about him is I don't notice him that often.
Yeah.
He just doesn't make mistakes. He's solid. The ball moves when it hits his foot. Well done, Steve. We'll see how it all finishes out where these votes go. Eric Stiles in Hackensack, New Jersey. He wants to know he has a beef here, essentially. He's mad about the fact that essentially DC will not be Eastern Conference champions until they win the conference title in the playoffs. He says that doesn't make any sense at all. Why should we say they finished first in the Eastern Conference? Why shouldn't they just be the Eastern Conference champions? What do we have an answer to that? Because he's pointing out some things here. There's headlines that have them. Hey, they secured first place in the East. Hey, they're you know first place. It's all first place. It's not champions.
When the Denver Broncos have the best record in the AFC and they don't win the AFC championship, they're still what are they? They're not the AFC champions until they win the AFC championship.
Well, they won their division, though, in the regular
season.
Yeah,
but division champion.
If they
but
have the best record in the AFC, it doesn't matter.
And division champion in the NFL is all about the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you get like a little thing that you could put up in your stadium. I mean, you could put something up if you want. If you root for a team that doesn't win anything like mine,
and they
you put it
as
up.
Well. And they can as well, can't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they could. I don't know. You don't put up first place in the standings and, you know, like that.
Well, you put
really
up supporter
work.
Shield.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same as winning the supporter shield. It's just in your conference.
So it's not the same as winning the supporter shield. Got it. It's like if you won the supporter shield, but you didn't, and it's the other conference. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Look, Eric Stiles, I understand your frustration. We go over this all the time. It's almost like you have to have a style guide for the MLS playoffs sometimes. But look, you got to do it in the playoffs. That's the system. The title gets earned there, and so does the Eastern and Western Conference title. That's just the way it is. Let's finish it off. Jake Little, I'm assuming in L.A., but I'm not sure. Just wanted your opinion on something most people haven't discussed since the LD announcement. Donovan's departure is going to leave a third DP spot vacant, Keane and Gonzo, of course, having the other two. Who are some names that are likely to fill that spot? The Galaxy have a brand name and club identity to attract a high-profile signing. His dream, he says, is Jozy Altidore, who's currently rotting away on the bench at Sunderland, but he'd love to hear our opinions. I'm not sure I have any specifics, but I have some ideas of the type of player I would go with. So start it up, guys.
One specific easy one is Chicharito. He went to Real Madrid. I get it, but he's the same player there as he was at Man U. He's a super sub. And you offer him a lot of big money to become a starter, become a full-time guy, lead it. You start to tap into that Mexican community or into Mexico itself and be a competitor with some of the Liga MX teams, and I think he would be a huge signing.
Kubo Torres blazed the trail, says Dave.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I'd go Gio Dos Santos. He's an easier fit.
Except he's
the
having
galaxy.
More success in Europe.
Yeah.
More success than Chicharito?
Yeah.
Chicharito's only on the biggest club
in
Europe.
Yeah, but in terms of his personal playing time. Okay, whatever.
Sure.
I don't want to poo-poo your idea.
I mean, Gio Dos Santos is on me, by the way.
Yeah.
Gio Dos Santos is on a third-tier Spanish team.
Yeah.
Honestly. You're saying he's having success? That's not success.
Okay.
So, to me, I bring him in his prime. He plays on the left. He plays left wing behind, converges, cuts in behind Zardes and Robbie Keane.
And Robbie Rogers is coming around the outside of him.
Sure.
I like that. You're going to sell some tickets with that.
Absolutely.
For sure. The Galaxy also announcing, by the way, a $15 million improvement to StubHub Center. So they're going to have the biggest board in MLS, and they're going to have all these other things. New locker rooms for LA, too.
I'm not going to accept any claims of the biggest board until I go personally and measure them. How do we know who's bad?
What boards have you measured? Why does this come down to the board measurement?
When the LA Galaxy
you
are
deliver
out,
the scoreboard when, first, when, and then we'll let you do that.
When the LA Galaxy are putting out that statement that they will have the biggest scoreboard, did they reach out to Real Salt Lake and ask, hey, Real Salt Lake, how big is your scoreboard? Well, are they going out and asking everyone how big their scoreboards are?
It's a good question. I think they probably just looked at the press release for Real Salt Lake and they said, hey, ours is bigger. And probably when they planned it, they said, what's the biggest? We're going to make that ours bigger. That makes sense.
This is a very mature conversation, a very mature concept.
Yeah, there's
proud of the people.
Yeah, a lot of measurements of certain items to determine superiority. Well, there you go. Hey, for the guys, no guests today, of course. I hope you enjoyed our blathering. For Simon Borg, for David Goss, I am Andrew Wiebe. Make sure you tune in this weekend to all the games right here on SiriusXM FC Channel 94. And you know what? On MLSsoccer.com, all the coverage is there. We'll see you around on Monday.
My scoreboard's bigger than yours.